thank you, Father. So I just want to talk tonight, and I don't know how this is going to pan out because I'm kind of like wasn't expecting the Lord to give me this message. So I'm just going to go with it, and I'm just trusting in Him because I like kind of being prepared, but I'm not really prepared for this. But I felt like that what the Holy Spirit wanted me to talk about is blurring the boundaries between the realms so that you can't tell which realm you're in, so that it becomes one world. It becomes a world that you live in, which is called life, which is called being alive, fully aware, able to see, able to interact, able to be beyond your physicality and move into places where there's space being created for you to do the works of the Father, beyond your geography, beyond your bedroom, beyond where you are right now. You've been given free access. And He's calling people, inviting people, wooing people into this beautiful realm called being in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, He's prepared for things for you to see and things for you to be, things for you to do, to make things change and come true to the way He wants them to be. And He's calling on a generation to walk like Enoch walked and to go through the door and begin to see, begin to know, begin to understand, and have a secret life hidden in Christ, where you do things that no one maybe even knows about, but you appear in other nations, and you appear and you raise the dead, and you appear on the streets, and you give someone money, and you show up, and they don't know who you are, but you're hidden and revealed. Your bedroom has got free access to all the cosmos. Your rocking chair is the rocket ship. And there's no limitations in Him. We live in Him, we move. And we're beginning to learn to live in Him. Now we must move in Him. We cannot live a mere local lifestyle. To live a local lifestyle is to live with a small heart. Because in Him, we've been blended into one, in a mysterious, mystical union, a mystical communion. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5, and I come back to it over and over again, in light of your co-inclusion in His death and resurrection, whoever you thought you were before, in Christ you are a brand new person. The old way of seeing yourself and everyone else are over. Acquaint yourself with the new. Acquaint yourself with the kainos. Acquaint yourself with this, that you have been wrapped up with Christ in God. But he who is joined, 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. The word joined, koleo, means literally cemented together. The person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. This is mystic union. This is communion. This means becoming His body, that we have become one with Him, permanently one with Him. And He's judging every mindset, every language, all systems that separate us from walking in love, that separate us from union, division, division. There is no division. That's why we've died so much, because we've lived in division. But we are living in union, in communion, in the unforced rhythm of grace, where we can see His face and we become the living oracles. We become the living Word, and we begin to shape what happens, and we begin to co-create, recreate with Him. Which means it's time for us to go where we've never gone before. It's time for us to believe there is an open door. Sacred poetry, you and me, a song that must be sung, a battle of love that must be won. And it can't be won by being tethered here, our eyes gazing on the room and missing all the cosmic symphony that we've been called into, the colors, the lightnings, the flashes. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I turned and saw. We've been in the Spirit, but we don't turn and see. And we have to turn and see. I was gone beyond the galaxies tonight. I mean, I went up above the heavens in Him. And this is where we belong. This is where we come from. See, the higher we go, the more distance we can see. The higher we go, the more clarity comes to us. And He's calling us to the place where He is. If we ascend and go up and down, we can go to and fro. And he is looking for those ascenders that will go to and fro. From out of Zion, the law will go into the furthermost parts of the earth. Shevet Peh, the rod of his mouth, we become when we're in the sun. We don't become Shevet Peh, the rod of his mouth, when we're separate. It says, apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, when you're separate in your mind, separate in your joy, separate in your consciousness, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do anything. So he's joined us, kaleo. He has joined us, literally cemented us together. And the psalmist said, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. I make my bed in hell. Behold, you are there. People who say hell separate from God don't read the Bible very well. It's like there's a place where God isn't. That's the theology we've been given. If I ride on the wings of the morning, wow. I don't even know what that is, but I'm on those wings right now. Yeah. If I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even though in your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. It sounds like there's a lot of leading and a lot of holding. Wow. A lot of leading and holding. That's beautiful. We have the capacity to be wherever he is now through union. You are spirit, God is spirit, you're in him, he's in you, and you are massive. You are massive. Chunky. Chunky. Oh. Yo. Yo, we're going to have such expanded hearts, but he's calling us on adventures. See, John went on an intergalactic cosmic time-traveling adventure in the book of Revelation because he understood that he could be in the spirit enjoying God's bliss, but he had to turn into the realm to journey. We have to turn into the realm to journey. You know. I hope after a year of us mentoring you and 7 years of COBH that you're journeying. I hope you're not localized. Yeah, Trevor's got it. He's got it. He has, because he was on the phone to me the other day. And he said, you know, I go to lots of meetings where they're laying on of hands. When we can just go up. It changes a lot of stuff, doesn't it? I'm not saying there's not a time and a place for laying on the hands. I'm not saying that. But if that's how we get transformed, we've missed the gospel. We've missed the gospel. Yeah. Yay! So, we need to learn to be besides ourselves. Besides ourselves, yes. You know, like Paul said, if we're besides ourselves, if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. We need, right, this is the amazing thing, is there's a ministry for men, which it says, if I'm sober, it's for you. But what is the ministry for God? It's still kind of an echo. Sounds dramatic. For God. For God. This is what I'm realizing, that there's a completely... See, we're so used to this is our ministry. Let's go and look after someone. Let's go and hug someone. Let's go and care for someone. And they are definitely on the scroll. Big time. You know, that's the best, isn't it? Loving on people, helping people, loving your kids, loving whoever, you know? But what we've not realized is that we can bend time and space and have this quantum ministry, this transcendent ministry, this intergalactic, amazing, beyond your body ministry. Yeah. And it's right there. See, it comes from ekstistemi. That's the word for besides myself. Ek, as in ecclesia, as in mean called out. Called out of your body. Histemi means where you're standing. Ek, histemi. Being called out, it's the same root word as ekstasis. What's ecstasis? Ecstasy. A throwing out of the mind and thrown into the mysteries in an elevation of bliss. Oh. You. Wow. As I've said before, in other translations, you know the word existemi, they've made it so palatable besides myself. Because, you know, they don't want to see someone out of their minds and caught up. But, you know, God does. He says it's for God's glory. Ha! He said, if I'm out of my mind or in ecstasies, it's for God's glory. And as I've said before, the mirror translation, we are blissfully out of our minds with pleasure before our maker. He delights in our ecstasy. Yes, he delights in the ecstasy. Okay, I want to tell you something now. So part one, that was part one. Part two, in ecstasy comes responsibility. In ecstasy, you've given your heart. You gave the little flame of love when you turned into the Spirit, and he can light the match and blow it up whenever he wants. And then you become a messenger of fire. You present the little flame of love, and he can turn you into a fire. He just lights your hairspray with it. See, he wants a company of people that know how to move in the realms of his heart. And from there to begin to appear in other nations and in other situations to bring miracles. Yeah. In the Spirit. In the Spirit, appearing and disappearing across the earth. Appearing beyond passport control. Appearing. And what I want to read a little story from Branham. I got given this book. William Branham, A Prophet Visits South Africa. Look at the crowd, man. I've been where that happened. And Jane, hasn't we, Jane? Look at all those people in Durban. We've stood there. That was a race course. Another very unusual incident happened to two elders from the Dutch Reformed Church. They had come to the meetings and watched. One of them, as he heard Brother Branham diagnose the cases, telling the people what was wrong with them, and then as he witnessed miracles performed, became convinced that this was of God. The other elder sat there and also watched Brother Branham diagnose the cases, telling the people secret things of their heart. And in the name of Jesus, they had been healed. Jane! And could get up and go. No, it's okay. Let's see what happens if we don't. And go home claiming and rejoice. Ah! Yeah! So just to summarize, there's amazing miracles going on, healings, diagnosis, prophetic, and there's two elders from the Dutch Reformed Church. One decides it's God, the other decides it's not. The two men were both sincere, but they'd come to different conclusions. The first elder went home. The second one went out under a tree to pray. While he was there praying, he asked God to show him if the things he'd seen were of God or of Satan. He was sincere and agreed to believe whatever was revealed to him by God. While he was praying, he felt a hand on his shoulder. He turned around to see who it was, but no one was there. No one was there. Instead of seeing someone, he saw a vision. He saw two clouds, and there between them sat his elder friend, exactly as he'd seen him sitting shortly before. and they were discussing Brother Branham's ministry. At the end of the vision, he went as quickly as he could to the elder's home to tell him what had happened. As he was explaining the vision to him, other members of the family who were there noticed an imprint of a hand on his shirt. As they examined the shirt, they found it had been scorched. It had been scorched, very plainly leaving the imprint of a left hand. The news came to Brother Branham about what had happened, and he said, "I know all about it. I saw it in a vision this afternoon. Bring me the shirt, and my left hand will fit perfectly the scorched imprint left on the shirt." This was done, and it was as Brother Branham had said. That evening, the shirt was brought to the meeting, and hundreds saw the scorched imprint of the hand on the shirt. Whoa. Yes. Wow. What am I saying? I'm saying this is the new creation lifestyle, that you can touch people beyond where you are. You can physically touch people. You can appear to people. And this is going to start expanding. I've prophesied about the cloud of witnesses. I taught on it. I prophesied about the angels coming. I taught on it. I taught about ascension. I knew that there was a wave of mysticism. I knew there was a wildfire wave years ago. There is a wave of beyond the body being released now, where it's time to go to and fro. It's time to release and increase. It's time to give freely what you've received. And you're not just going to be sitting in your prayer closet any longer. God wants to do some stuff. He wants to co-create. He wants to revelate. He wants to release. He wants to heal. He wants to release the unlimited life that he has put in you. Wow. That you may know the hope to which he's called you. His inheritance in the saints and his incomparably great power for us who believe. I remember, and Jane's talked about this before, when Jane texted me one night and Ruth was ill, and she woke me up in the middle of the night, and she was going to call an ambulance. Her daughter was ill, and I sat up in bed, and all I can describe is it was like it went, whoomp, and I shot out of my body, and I went through the room into there, and the presence hit, didn't it? And she immediately got healed. She immediately went into peace. She immediately went into shalom. She immediately got changed. And because Jane knew that locality was meaningless. We're one in the Son. The kingdom of heaven's at hand. We are close to one another, not far from one another. And the conclusion was that she got completely changed and then went to sleep and had a beautiful sleep. But I had so pulled myself out of my body that my body fell back asleep immediately in bed, and I stayed out of my body all night. And what happened was, Stevie McKee was at the conference with me, and I went to Stevie's bedroom, drawn by love, drawn by the Spirit. In him I was moving, not apart from him, I was in him, right? And I stood at the end of Stevie's bed, and for all night, spoke in tongues over him. All night, shakaraba basoka mashiki yanamama basiki. Not getting tired because my body was asleep. So I was using no energy, but instead of dreaming, I was with Stevie praying for the guy all night. And I even remember thinking at one point, what am I doing praying over Stevie all night? Birth in destiny, but you see the man he is now. You know, you see who he's become and the weight he carried when he spoke at Love Fest. And, you know, it was funny because Stevie then got picked up and I was in the car with him. I said, how did you sleep last night, Stevie? It's like, amazing. Yeah, I said, it's all right for you, mate. All right for you. I've been praying for you all night. This stuff's going to intensify, man. We've got to get to the point where we can actually see one another, we connect with one another. We're not alone, we're not isolated. Listen, there are things he wants to do in the nations that will blow your fuse. To actually even do them, you have to be in another realm. Because in this realm, it's not even possible for you to comprehend it. But when you're in him, there's dead raising power. When you're in him, there's power to change situations. There's power to rip down strongholds, shred demonic structures, pulverize them into pieces. And he's wanting to not just, he wants to take you into things and see things. And there's an invitation to be the scorching hand. I love the lives of the saints. I love the lives of the saints. And for 10 years, I just read all the saints, history of the saints, and I loved it. I'll just share a couple of stories of what, see, this is amazing. When you study the saints, because they couldn't travel like we could now, they developed this skill way beyond now. You know, Cuthbert, Columba, Patrick, the Celtic saints, they always knew what was going on with the other guys. They knew when a plague hit another monastery. They knew when someone died. You know, Cuthbert gave himself to become a minister because he saw the beam of light from Columba dying. Columba died and it released a beam of light up into the sky. And Cuthbert saw that beam of light and gave himself to the ministry. And they would always know when each other died. They would know when someone was coming. They would know the secrets of their heart. They would know where they've come from. They'd be able to look in and they would know. And, you know, this has to happen now. This has to happen. They would bend time. I mean, one time, this is stretching, but I'll just say it. Columba saw a friend fall off a cliff in another place in the spirit, and he engaged the spirit realm and caught them. You know, and they would pull each other out of storms and stuff. This is the realm we have to come into where if you're struggling, someone starts appearing in the spirit, connected community, because we know how to live. We have to learn to live in the spirit, not just enter in the spirit, but live in the spirit. And there's more and more things going to happen that if you don't go in the spirit, you're going to be wondering what the heck is going on. You'll come to tribe and you'll sit there just listening to Janine. Rather than being where Janine is. Do you know what I'm saying? I know you guys do it anyway, so please forgive me if I sounded harsh. I'm not. It's just in the old church model, it was all about God, come here. As we worship, build your throne and all that stuff. And it was all localized. We're going beyond local. We're going into Zion and there's assignments. There'll be angels that go with you on assignments. There'll be chariots to take you. There'll be saints that appear with you and work with you. We're coming into days of awe and wonder. Some of the greatest miracles the world have ever seen is going to start to come. People are literally going to be filmed phasing dimensions. I prophesy now, they're going to take photos in meetings and there'll be people's faces appearing. Your face maybe. Because it's happened to me a couple of times. You know, I've appeared in different places through love. Love will take you there. Love is a gravitational force. Love will take you. You know, if there's a workplace that you're in that needs the government of light, you can walk through it in the spirit. You can decide, because anything that you hold in your heart, you've got a right to engage with. It's legal for you because love makes it legal. And you know, if there's an atmosphere you want to change, you just sit in your chair, but go there. Get in the realm with Jesus. Say, Jesus, can we go there? And he'll go, yeah, because he's the yes and amen. He wants you to learn. And you, by very walking through a building, walking through a hospital, walking through the church that you go to, in the spirit, walking through it with him, in your heart. Woo! See, this has got substance. You know, I just copied one page from one of my books. But listen to this. Pope Clement was dying, okay? And this guy called Alphonsus, one of the Catholic saints, says, during the morning of September the 21st, 1774, Alphonsus, after saying Mass, threw himself in his armchair, as he was not wont to do. He appeared prostrate and absorbed in thought, making no movement, making no word, and asking no one for anything. He remained in that state for all that day and all the night that followed, and all the while took no food and made no sign that he would undress. The servants who saw him in this position wondered what was to happen. They stood by the door of his room, unwilling to go in. On the morning of the 22nd, he had not changed his attitude, and the household did not know what to think. The fact is that he was in a prolonged ecstasy. Later on in the morning, however, he rang the bell to announce that he wished to say Mass. At that signal, it was not only Brother Umito who came as usual, but everybody in the house ran to the bishop's room. On seeing so many people, the saint asked in surprised tones, "What's the matter? What is the matter?" They answered, "This is the second day that you've not spoken, eaten, nor given any sign of life." "You are right," said Alphonsus, "but you do not know that I have been assisting the Pope who has just died." I love this one, St. Paul of the Cross, for an act of love. Listen to this. I love this story. I've read it many times. After conducting a mission at Piombino, St. Paul of the Cross was accompanied to a ship by a great number of people. So imagine this. The saint is, all the crowds are there. He gets on the boat. Among them was Dr. Gerardini, who remained on the pier until the ship was out of sight. So this doctor really loved this saint. He watches him go on the boat, and he stays there until the boat's gone out of sight. So he must have been there quite some time, you know, half an hour, an hour. Just feeling, I love that guy. This is what happens. On returning to the city and going into a friend's house, Dr. Gerardini saw St. Paul of the Cross coming out of a room. You imagine you've just taken me to Heathrow. You wave me off, you stand there for ages, missing me, and then you go to your friend's house, and I walk out of the room, and it says this, not believing his own eyes, he went to the saint and said, how now, Friar Paul, are you here? I have been with you down to the pier. I've watched you to a distance out at sea, and now I find you here. The saint replied, be still. Be still, calm down. I came here for an act of charity. He then disappeared. One of my favorite saints, you know, Joseph of Cupertino, we've talked about him a lot. You know, he was famous for his levitations, but more than his levitations. Cappuccino, Joseph of Cappuccino. They lived in Cupertino, an elderly gentleman, Octavius Piscino. Who was affectionately called Father. That's probably easier calling him Father than Piscino. You wouldn't want to give him a nickname with that name, would you? He had asked St. Joseph of Cupertino if he'd kindly assist him at the hour of his death. I love that. Wow. The saint promised to do so and added, I shall assist you even though I shall be in Rome. One of the things you find with the saints, they always knew each other's death dates. It's biblical. Peter did, John did, Paul did, you know, Jesus did. Knowing your death date is part of the realm if you die. I believe there's something that has to be released right now beyond death. Do you know, I was reading a scientific thing today. Amazing. The guys that are looking at how to re-engineer the aging process, there's a global thing to change it to a disease. Life expands going up and up, and they're looking at the different components of the disease of aging, and they're predicting by 2045, we would have cured a lot of the elements of aging. By 2045, they believe lifespans could go up to 500 or 1,000. That means some. I said to Josh today, I said, do you realize, Josh, you might be alive for hundreds of years? So what kind of life are you going to live? The Bible says that's going to happen. I taught on it all of last year. But can you believe that you're actually looking at teenagers right now that could live for 500 years? Okay. The saint promised to do so, and I shall assist you even though I shall be in Rome. How does that happen? How did he know he'd be in Rome when he dies? Because he's in the realm. He's turned in and he's looked, and he can feel the energy. He can feel Rome. That's how it comes to you. You feel like, Rome, I'll be in Rome. Many, many times I've just gone in the spirit and I know stuff, and I can't explain how, I just know it, but it's in that realm, you know. See, we can't live the side of it anymore. And I really believe, I know we fail, I fail. I was repenting in the car. We disconnect from him, don't we? Because of pain and issues. We can't keep doing that to him. Because he's good. it's wrong thinking that brings a separation from him, because he wants to do some crazy stuff. I mean, trans relocation, teleportation, dead raisings. You know, it's open. This may feel unfamiliar to you, but it doesn't feel unfamiliar to the real you. Because inside of you is a real believer. So he said, yeah, I'll be in Rome. This proved to be a prophecy, since the saint was in Rome when the old gentleman became sick. When the last hour of the man's life approached, those who attended him saw Saint Joseph of Cupertino speaking with him. Among the many witnesses was Saint Teresa of the Third Order, who spoke to the saint and in amazement asked, Friar Joseph, how did you come? He replied, I came to assist the soul of the Father. And then he suddenly disappeared. Well, wow. Let's just wait a second. I'm nearly done. Yes. So I've really been enjoying this book, and I've recommended it to so many people now. Supernatural Transportation by Michael Van Flymen. And I've actually got to say, this has accelerated it in me. I can honestly say this is a meaty, easy-to-read book that will actually do something for you. I just want to read how he learned to go in the Spirit. Now, just to bring you up to date, he's appeared in many different places and even raised the dead now. But this is what he would do. At night, when his family would go to bed, he would sit in his prayer chair. Sometimes he fell asleep, but it was all okay. God loves him. But listen to this. This is the first time he realized he was leaving his body. As I would go to my prayer chair at night, after everyone in the house was asleep, I would focus on the Lord. I prayed and worshiped, meditated on the scriptures, and just pictured being with him. Loving you is easy because you're beautiful. Sometimes I would get so relaxed I would fall asleep. Many other times I'd pray all night. It was comfortable. I felt secure just worshiping God and pressing into him. No distractions or worries, no fears or doubts, just me and the Lord in communion. Because I enjoy praying over my household, I would also do that before, during, or after these times of waiting on God. I would walk through the house and anoint the windows and doorposts. I'd also anoint various things. I would walk through the entire house and pray over each and every room. For the rooms that had closed doors because people were asleep, I extended my hands towards the room and pray. I was learning some things about prayer, and the Lord was teaching me to be diligent. As I would pray and worship in the comfort of my prayer chair, I felt myself getting sleepy. I would just get up and walk through the house praying. It was and is a great way of continuing and not falling asleep. I was finding that my soul or body wanted to be satisfied even at the cost of missing a visitation from God. Being tired is a strong pull. So I'd get up and walk through the house and pray. Usually I would take the same path and do laps through the house, sometimes for a long time. You have to understand, it wasn't just about logging hours for my journal. It was about praying until I connected with the heavenly spiritual reality. One evening as I was praying in my chair, I felt myself growing tired, so I got up and began going through the house doing my nightly prayer covering. When I'd gone through the whole house and made it back to my prayer chair, my body was still in it. I looked at my body sitting there in the chair, and it threw me a bit. I had done my entire nightly prayer routine with the complete function and awareness of a tangible physical person, even though I was in the spirit. But what I came to understand is the tangible reality of the spirit man, or our spiritual part. So when Paul says, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, is so very true. The spirit man is just as real as the physical body, and even more so. After that night, he learned he could step out and walk around the house. So he started to experiment. He learned a few things. He learned, for example, he could go out the back garden and do it. And he moved some chippings one night, put them on the back shed, and they were there in the morning. And he found that the crazier the things he did, the more the spirit realm would open. So instead of walking around the house, he would like fly and dance. Because he found the more he untethered from this world, the more that went boom, and opened up. One night he was walking around the house in his spirit body, which had now just become a thing he could do because he'd learnt this protocol. He saw his daughter in her spirit body, or grandchild, I'm not sure, sleeping by the dog. Hugging the dog on the landing. She'd actually, in her spirit body, come out of her body, the child had, and was hugging the dog and resting on the... And so his spirit body and her spirit body, he says, "Hey, honey, you should probably go back to bed now." And she went, "Oh, I'm just enjoying myself." She was going. And then she toddled back and went back into her body. See, this is the realm he wants to open, and this is what needs to happen, and this is the word God gave me for tonight. And I was surprised by it because it's not the thing I'm thinking of right now. But what I felt for years, and when we did a prophecy school in Cardiff, like, I don't know how many years ago, that's how I started in ministry. And the Lord gave me a revelation around that time, and I think it's come full term. And it's this. It's that, and I've talked about it here, but I'm going to mention it now in closing, was that Peter, when he was in prison, was tied up with chains, and an angel came along and struck him hard. He said, "Get up." The chains fell off. He walked out. Can you imagine all the smells, the colors, everything? He walked into the courtyard, all the doors open. He goes through the courtyard, and then he comes to the gates, and it says the gates open on their own. He walks out, and he's walking down the street, and then it says the angel disappears. But the bit that blew me away, and I've talked about this isn't a shock, it says only then did Peter realize it wasn't a vision. What does that mean? It means visions are coming, but not like we've seen them. Visions are coming, not like little pictures. I'm talking about 3D interactive fragrances. I'm talking about an awakening of our senses. I'm talking about blurring the boundaries so you don't know which world you're in. And then the angel vanishes and you go, "Oh, I'm really in China." See, we've been called into a limitless life. And he's calling us to start to explore that life. Because we've been like a people that have understood the gospel, but have had fear to explore the gospel. And it's time for explorers. It's time for innovators of spiritual technology. It's time for people that begin to move in the spirit, live in the spirit, start to do things that are beyond the limitations of locality. And start to begin to live in a different kind of lifestyle, a different kind of reality. And this is what has been offered to this Enoch generation. Good news that you're alive now. For he chose where you would live and when you would live, so that you would seek him so as to find him, though he's not far from any one of us. We are not the seekers, we are the finders. We are being embraced by grace, and we are those that have been consumed by love. And love knows no limits. No limits in space, no limits in time, no limits for you. Have compassion on yourself, for you have been made new, and you are innocent, and you are loved. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Do you want to just do a very quick thing? Very quick thing. Right, just sitting in his presence. It's easy, you're already in. We've been in all night. Just see your front door. Just walk through it. And release light. You are a light-giving spirit. You are full of light. And just walk around it. Walk around that house. And just release light. If you want, you can even expand and hold the whole thing in your heart and release light over it. Yeah, it's that simple. Come back here a second, because you can always do this again. It's always okay with the Lord. He told me this. It's always legal. He said, there's two places it's always legal for you to go whenever you want. He said, heaven and your home. I'm sure there's more as we grow in it. But that's how simple it is, walking through. Maybe this week or sometime, just sit in your chair, just for 5 minutes, just enjoy his presence, and then in him, just step beside yourself. Maybe just have a little bit of love for yourself, so you're not doing so bad. You know? Do you know one of the biggest keys for shifting dimensions is compassion and thankfulness? I'm thankful for this body. Just put your hand on your own body, you know? Say, Lord, thank you, gave me this. This is pretty cool. I'm thankful for it. And you're not doing so bad after all. You're doing all right. Amen. Love you guys. See you soon.